Hebrews chapter 11, and I have to tell you, when I left this morning, usually Chris comes with me, but she didn't today. We had Heather and Luke, and then Matt and Rachel were there, and so she didn't come with me this morning. So instead, when I left, she said, "Did you remember everything? Did you get your laptop and your eyeglasses and your checkbook?" I said, "Yes, yes." She did not ask if I got my Bible. So it's her fault. Why would you bring your Bible to church? I mean, good grief. But don't worry, we have spares. We're good. So I figured if I didn't tell you, she would. So... We're in Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Reads the same way in this Bible. It's okay. Hebrews 11. Going to be finishing what we started last week with Moses. Going to be going from verse 27 to 29 today. Hebrews 11. Starting verse 27. Well, let's go back. Okay, let's do verse 23 on. Well, we looked at verses 23 to 26 last week, but I want to go through it again. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this example of faith. Father, not just for us, but for the people that were there, they needed to see that Moses had faith to go on, had faith to endure, had faith to keep going. But those people didn't want to keep going. They wanted to stop. They wanted to join a religion. They wanted to do anything that would make this life more comfortable. And that was a problem. Father, they didn't recognize they needed to go on to faith. Lord, thank you that you have given us such a clear examples in Scripture. You show us the value of faith. You show us the value of believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that we can follow His design and His heart for us, and that He does want to lead us in the way everlasting. In fact, he wants to adopt us as sons and daughters in his family. Lord God, and when we have that, when we've trusted in Jesus Christ and become a son or a daughter in God's family, Father, then you've given us the Holy Spirit to lead us daily, hourly. We get to have you in us through the Holy Spirit. We get to see your power through the Holy Spirit. And we get to see lives that are changed. We love you. Teach us from your word, Lord. Help us as we look at Moses and see the value of faith. It's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, what we've come from, the writer of the book is writing to help the people. It was probably a church setting, but there were people who were wanting to leave that church setting and go back under the Judaistic religion. They wanted to do that for security. Do that so they wouldn't be persecuted. They wanted to make sure that they could do something to be right with God. And the problem was, we can never do anything to be right with God. We become right with God because of what He has done for us when we've trusted in Christ. And what we're seeing all the way through Hebrews is that Christ is superior. He's superior to any of that religious system. We see it all the way through into chapter 5. What we see is that the problem isn't isn't just an issue with our surroundings. The problem was faith. They didn't believe. They hadn't trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They knew He was. They were around it. They were a part of the church setting, but they had never accepted that free gift for their own, for their self. They had never joined into the family. So therefore, they were contemplating going back under a religious system that was pointing to Christ. And here they had Christ right before them. So he goes through and he explains that. He compares the old covenant with the new in chapters 8 through 10. And then we get to chapter 11. We see that faith. We see examples of faith. And he's doing this. The writer is doing this because he wants the those people to see that the Old Testament people, that they would go back under that religious system, which revered Moses, revered Abraham, revered Abel, all of these people. And he said, look, they lived by faith. They're an example of faith. They didn't just go under a religious system. They're an example of faith. So here we've come up to Moses. He's spoken already about Abel and his worshiping in faith, and Enoch and his walk by faith, and Noah, the work by faith, and Abraham, the life of faith. And now we get to Moses, and what we see in Moses is the choice of faith. The choices of faith, and what I want to also show you today is the, I don't even know how to say it, the lack of fear because of faith. So we're going to look at that a little bit. Excuse me. But what we looked at last week in Moses' life, verses 23 to 26, was the fact that when he was born, his parents showed faith. And then when he grew up, in verse 24, Moses showed faith. He chose to follow God. He chose to live with his people rather than to take all the wondrous things that Egypt was giving him, all the wondrous things that Egypt had. And he had it all. He had it all, but he chose to set that aside for the treasures which are in heaven. We see that in verse 25. In verse 26, I'm sorry. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking to the reward. He was looking to heaven. So he had that eternal mindset. So we get to verse 27. And what we see here is by faith he left Egypt. By faith he left Egypt. Again, that was his heart. That was his heart motivation, faith here. He left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was unseen. He left Egypt. After 40 years, he had the will and also the security to leave what he had known for 40 years, what all of the riches that he had. He saw them as the pleasures of sin. He saw that according to verse 25. The passing, the temporary pleasures of sin. He recognized that. He was living as a son of the Pharaoh. He was living as someone great, someone wonderful. The people revered him. The people looked at him with envy. He had everything he ever wanted, and yet he left that. He chose to leave that, verse 27. He left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now we look at that and say, well, he left not fearing, even though he had what was wonderful. He left that, and he left that without fear. He had lived for 40 years with it all. He considered, verse 26, considering meant the deep thinking that heaven has greater riches. He considered that God is right in what he says. He considered that the ones who followed him would gain or would benefit from his faith in God's design. But then he left without fear. Now we look at that and we say, well, no, wait a second. Because the first time he left because he was going to get killed. And was that out of fear? Well, we can look at it and say, well, there was a fear aspect, but in the same time, he was trusting God to lead him. But I think it's not chronological here. I believe it's talking about the second time he left. Because when he... he didn't go back and gain all those riches, and then he, but when he went back, he didn't go back to claim all those riches. He came to lead the people out. And when he left, he didn't fear, even though the Pharaoh told him to leave. The Pharaoh came after him. The Pharaoh wanted him dead. In fact, the last time he saw the Pharaoh during the Exodus, the Pharaoh said, you know, I don't ever want to see your face again, because if you see my face again, you're going to die. And Moses said, I know I'm not going to see your face again. We're leaving. I am not going to see your face again. And it's true. He didn't see his face again. So Moses didn't creep out. Moses didn't shy away. He told the truth. Because he knew judgment was coming. Judgment had already come on Egypt. But he went without fearing. The second time he left, he went without fearing, even though the king would come after him. There was no room for fear when he was following God. He was keeping that eternal mindset. He remembered, remembering to whom that he belonged. He knew how powerful his God was. And if you look at what it says next, it says, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. He endured. The word endure means persevere, or literally means to be courageous. Moses' courage didn't come from himself. What do we know about Moses? God says in his word, what does he say about him? He was the most humble man who has ever lived. That's what we know about Moses. So he wasn't a real cocky guy. He wasn't proud. He wasn't haughty. And yet, when it came time to go, he left without fear. And he endured. The word endured, he found courage. He was courageous in how he left. He was courageous. And if you read the account, it's amazing because it shows his courage. And we'll just read a couple excerpts later. But when he left, he endured. He found courage because he saw what was invisible. You see that in verse 27? As seeing him who is unseen, as seeing God. He left as though he could just see God and know exactly what God desired and leave. Because he did. He saw him. Now, you say, well, wait a second, when did he see him? Well, you know, later on the mountain, it says, you know, that a great wind came, he didn't see God, and then an earthquake came, he didn't see God, but then a still small voice, still small breeze, still small voice, and he wrapped his face up, right? And later on, God passed by, and he glowed from it. You say, well, is that when he saw it? No, it's not what he's talking about. He says, as though seeing what is unseen. As though he had God right in front of him. And that was his mindset. That's why he could have an eternal mindset. All right, so think about that. Because he's talking about faith. He's talking about living by faith. He's trying to get these folks to understand that they needed to go on by faith to trust Christ as their Savior. He says, look, the guy you're going to go under in this religious system and revere, he saw God in him. He saw God, even though he was invisible. If you look at verse 27 again, it says, as seeing him who is unseen. So he gained courage. He gained that lack of fear because he saw him who was unseen. He had that God who was invisible to people, wasn't invisible to Moses. He didn't physically, I'm not saying that he physically saw God. What I'm saying is that he knew God. And he saw him who was unseen. In other words, he recognized that God was part of his life and leading in his life and moving in his life. That produced the eternal mindset that he had where he could say, you know, all the riches of Egypt, it's temporary and it's passing, but eternity, what's in heaven is great. It's fabulous. Now that's an amazing... Remember the definition of faith? What's the definition of faith? Verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The what? The conviction of things not seen. Assurance and conviction of things you can't even see. This is a perfect example of it. This is Moses. He couldn't see God and yet he saw God. And that set his mindset so that didn't have fear of the king. He didn't have the desire to keep those riches that were temporal and temporary. He didn't have a desire to go after that that lifestyle, even though it would have been a lavish lifestyle, it would have been a fabulous lifestyle. He chose rather to endure problems with his people because he had that eternal mindset. Now, this is amazing. This is an amazing thing. If we lived this way, think about it. If we lived this way, seeing God, as seeing God, guess what? God isn't in heaven and you here, and there's nowhere between. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are in Christ. Christ is in us through the Holy Spirit. We have God Almighty in us, with us, before us, guiding us, leading us. And this is an amazing, if we could grasp that, if we catch that, that's why Scripture says we love God because He first loved us. We grow in our knowledge of loving God when we recognize how much He loves us. He has made us His children. He's adopted us as children of the living God. If we could get that mindset, we have eternity with God. We have God right here with us. What would it change? What would it change in our life? What would be the same in our life? Because He is here. He is here right now. Not just because we're in church. He doesn't reside in this building, folks. He resides in this building. He resides in that building. You guys. Those of you who know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have God in you. And if we recognize that, then our decisions that we make, the choices we make, will be just like Moses. By faith. By faith. By faith. The last three verses, by faith, by faith, by faith. And before that even, verse 24, by faith. All right? He had faith because he recognized that God is here. And that's how he made his choices. That's how he left without fear. Keep going. Look at verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, again, we have that God, seeing God in him, having an eternal mindset, he kept the Passover. The word kept is in the perfect tense. It means he fully accomplished, fully did it, completely kept the Passover. It's in the active voice, in the present tense. He did it right here, right now. He did it. Now we say, oh, well, that's no big deal. I mean, next week we're going to have communion, and that's not the Passover, but it's a kind of a sign. And Israelites, they do it every year. They have this Passover feast, you know. Oh, it was a huge deal because it had never been done before, ever. With Moses, he was the one God used to bring it about. And so it was something huge, something major. And it was the first time, it was all new. And Moses probably didn't understand it at all. Didn't understand all of it. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. You notice it put that in there? The sprinkling of the blood. He obeyed God anyway, even though he didn't understand it, because of his eternal perspective, because he understood that God, as seeing God, even though he wasn't seeing him literally, he was seeing him. He knew God. He knew what God desires, so he did it. He obeyed. He did, as we'll find out, he did understand it was part of his judgment, but I don't believe he understood at all what it was a true picture of. And yet he obeyed. And I looked at verse 28 there. It says, he kept, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that, that's that word henna, in order that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. He did that because he understood God was going to send judgment. But he did it because he believed God that he was going to send a judgment. And he did. On the Egyptians. He did on those who didn't cover their doorposts with blood. Remember, he put the blood up above and to each side. They had the perfect lamb, the unblemished lamb. But he did that, according to verse 28, he did that in order that he who destroyed the firstborn, the death angel, might not touch them. The word touch means kill. Might not kill their children. Might not kill the ones that they were coming after. Which they did with Israel. But this is a wonderful picture of salvation. And Moses didn't understand it at that point. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. You have the blood on the head and the two sides of the posts. And you can see the cross in that. you have the sacrifice, which would be the unblemished lamb, picture of Christ. You have the unleavened bread, again, a picture of Christ. Leaven being the picture of sin. Well, there's no leaven in it, and it was specifically for that. You had the bitter herbs, again, a picture of Christ, and a picture of what they were going to be going through. Remember when we had that gal come and set up the table here, and we had the Passover feast? She showed what each element of the Passover feast was for. And I think I've told you before, but when I was at Moody, I went to a Passover feast in a place that, hey, $4 an hour to wash dishes. I'm in. Yeah, that was more than I could make anywhere else. and it was a Passover. I thought, well, this is going to be really cool. And it was. It was really neat. But they send the kids to the door and say, look out, is the Messiah coming? Look out the window, is the Messiah coming? And they went through all of these little rituals. And I kept thinking, you know, that's Christ. That's Christ. That's Christ. That's Christ. That's who they're looking for, even today. But they don't know it. They don't understand that Christ came. And this is what he's trying to give these people. Christ has already come. And this whole feast is looking for Christ. Now with Moses, he didn't understand that this was going to be such a powerful picture of salvation. But he did it anyway. It was brand new, and he did it anyway. Because God said, and he did it by faith, that what God said was going to happen, what God said would come about, and what God desired, he wanted to do. Isn't that a great picture? And the amazing thing is, we can have that same mindset. We can have the mindset, God is in us, God is here. We can see God and see him work, and we have eternity, we have an eternal home, eternal heaven. So therefore, the circumstances surrounding our life don't dictate us. The circumstances surrounding our life don't bring that fear that it used to bring. They don't bring the anxiety, because we understand that we belong to a greater God than the world. We belong to a greater God than our circumstances. And yes, our circumstances can be exceedingly difficult. Very difficult. We look at testimonies. We look at Johnny Erickson Tata. We look at Corey Ten Boom. We look at Paul Bunyan. Paul Bunyan? I don't think that's right. John Bunyan. Forget the Paul part. Well, Paul was a biblical name. Come on. But John Bunyan, who ended up in prison. We look at Wycliffe. Look at Martin Luther, at Wesley, John Wesley, Charles Wesley. You look at all these guys throughout history and Christianity, and they have exceedingly hard, difficult times. Look at Paul. He was in prison so often. I heard a message yesterday explaining how Paul was in prison, or the day before. Anyway, he was in prison, and writing to the Philippians, said, it's great, it's wonderful, because you guys are getting saved. I'm in prison because of you, but I don't care, because you guys are getting saved. Right, so it's seeing God in the midst of our issues, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of everything going on. Moses did that. It threw fear out the window. It caused him to follow, and it showed an example for us. Look at the last verse. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. again, it's by faith. And you know, the whole circumstances leading up to that is something we wouldn't consider faith. Because they left Egypt, they followed Moses, they left Egypt, and they got out to the Red Sea, and the Lord said, camp from here to here, right by the Red Sea, and so they did, and all of a sudden the Egyptian Pharaoh, he said, hey, get an army, we're going out there, and we're going to kill them or bring them back. We need these guys to build our junk. So they went after them. And the people turned to Moses and said, what, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die so we can get buried out here? Like we said before, we'll just go in and serve the Egyptians. And Moses said, why don't you just wait and see what the Lord's going to do? Of course, we know the story. You know, the pillar of fire went behind them all of a sudden. Instead of before them, went behind them and kept Egyptian army from them. And look what it says. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, which it was. It passed through the Red Sea. So even though they were complaining, even though they were griping, it says, by faith, they, we're talking about the people of Israel, they showed faith by passing through. This was an example of faith, by passing through. When it says passing through, we have, let me read for you real quick what it says in Exodus chapter 14. In verse 13, it says, but Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. This was right after they were griping. Right after they were complaining to Moses. So that went on. The waters parted. It's so good. You want to read it. Read 14, Ephesians. Exodus 14. Because God's, right after he says, God says, well, tell the people to get moving. You know, he goes before the Lord. Moses goes before the Lord. He says, well, don't just stand there. Tell the people to get going. Go across the sea. Well, see, he's still sitting there. So Moses raises his rod. He speaks, and then the sea opens up. And then at the end of it, verse 29 says, but the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on the right and the left. It was a huge wall. Folks, it took faith to walk down on dry land and have water sitting right beside you, inexplicably up. There was no glass there. There wasn't anything holding it back but God's hand. And they passed through. They went through to completion. You see the picture? This is what this author is trying to show them. The picture. Look, they went through by faith. They completed it. They went on through. This is what you need to go on through, to go to completion, to salvation. This is what he's trying to tell them again and again and again. He's trying to show them that the people that they would the religious system would revere that they're going under were having faith in what was to come. Moses had that eternal mindset. He had the picture of God right here so that he could go forth and lead the people through that. And guess what happened after that? Verse 29. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Why? Because they didn't go through by faith. And when they got in the midst of it, guess what happened to their chariots? They started getting squirrely. Chariots started moving all over the place. And you know what the Egyptian army said? Let's get out of here. Let's stop chasing the Israelites. But it was too late. That wall didn't hold. It came in and they were all drowned. Read somewhere where they were trying to disprove scripture, you know, and they said, well, it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. It was the Reed Sea. They were one E off. And that Reed Sea is only about ankle deep. And so they passed through just almost like it was dry land because they passed right over ankle deep. And that was a miracle because the Egyptians all drowned in ankle deep water. Isn't that amazing? I suppose God could do that. But he didn't do that. Had them go through the Red Sea, which was deep, and the water came in. Everything happened because God said it would happen. It happened. And it was by faith the people believed in Moses. By faith, he made that choice to go forth without fear. You know, our choices have consequences, and we also have a greater fear than what the world gives. You realize that? Moses didn't have fear because he had a greater fear. Not being afraid, but a greater sense of awe that God, right here in front of him, was right. Catch that. Catch that. The fact that Moses made choices based on his faith. The fact that Moses didn't fear based on his faith. Because he had a greater fear of God. You know, that's what chases fear out. It says, perfect love casts out fear. Well, guess what perfect love is? It's fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Recognizing that the Lord has power. Recognizing that we bow down before an almighty sovereign God who loves us and cares for us is an amazing thing. And if we catch that, if we get that, then guess what's going to happen with our choices? our choices will be based on, what do you desire, God? What's your word say? What does your word have for me? How can I follow you? Because yes, the circumstances are harder. Yes, the circumstances are drawing. Or yes, these circumstances, whatever it is, I don't want to look this way anymore. I want to look that way. And looking that way, God will open up this way for me to see. You recognize that? You serve a mightier God than the people around you are here for fear. I know we look at America today, we look at the world and say, man, it is huge problems and fearful. And there's huge fear going on, and we can get sucked into that. But you know what? Our God is greater than all of this going on today. He didn't promise us a safe life. You recognize that? He didn't promise us a very secure and wonderful life. He promised to be with us, to never, never leave us, never, never, never forsake us. Can't wait to get to that one. That's coming. That's what he promised. And he promised to uphold us in the midst of those circumstances and to bring joy into our life when there's problems. So in whatever's going on today in the world, whatever's going on in America, we can still have joy. We can still trust him because we have a greater fear of the Lord than we have fear of an army or a people or whatever. Or even diseases. Even problems. We have greater fear of God. Not that we're afraid of God, but we have a greater sense of awe. We stand so much in awe of God that these other things melt. Melt. To where they're significant to the point of how it brings us to God, how it moves us towards God. That's with Moses. Moses had faith because he saw what was unseen. He saw God here. He had that eternal mindset. He made his choices based on it. Now, he didn't make perfect choices. I mean, he didn't even get to go into the promised land because of the dumb choices that he made. He had consequences to his bad choices. But yet he is seen as having faith because he followed what God desired. And yes, he struggled with his own issues. But yet what we learn is those the choices he made by faith, the choices he made without the fear, the choices he made because God said so, are the ones that are upheld and lifted up and moved in Israel's whole existence. And he was showing his belief in Christ, in the coming Messiah, when he did this. These people needed that Messiah. They needed to accept that Messiah. He had that eternal mindset. He chose to keep this prestige and wealth. He chose not to keep that prestige and wealth he had for 40 years to gain the eternal riches of heaven forever. You know, these people needed to see that Moses' life was a life of faith choices. It was faith choices, and it got rid of the fear. And we need this eternal mindset also. We need to see God here. We need that to make choices based upon what God desires rather than what we desire. His will leads to our ultimate good. You realize that? Our choices based on our own desires don't lead to our ultimate good. They may lead to comfort. They may lead to fun times, they may lead to something, but it's not to our ultimate good. But yet, in Romans, he says that it's our ultimate good, Romans 8:28. At least to our ultimate good, our true good. He knows what is absolutely best for us. His will leads to that. What he wants them to understand here is they needed salvation. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you need salvation. You need to become a child of his so that he can reside in you. You can have God right here. And that can help in your choices, in your fear. It can, in bringing together the fact that these circumstances aren't great, but I'm not relying on these circumstances to make me happy and bring me joy. I'm relying on God's truth. If you've never trusted Christ, please talk with someone you know here who has trusted Christ, or I'd love to share from you from God's word how you can know him personally. It's not my opinion, it's God's word. And he will stand behind his word. Do it today. Do it soon. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, We're always going to have choices. We're always going to have temptations. We're always going to have ways to live pleasing to God or pleasing to ourselves, and pleasures of sin. But, you know, oftentimes we don't see the difference. And a lot of sometimes there isn't a difference. You know, which pair of socks should I put on today? Is that a godly choice? Is that a choice? All right? We don't see the difference. Sometimes there's not, but oftentimes there is a difference. Do I cheat? Do I lie? Do I do this to gain something here? So that my circumstances will be better? Do I hate God because of the circumstances, because of this illness, whatever? Right? We can go to the Word and say, you know what? God is right here. Why would I hate someone who gave his only begotten Son for me so that I can live eternally, have an eternal mindset, and so that my choices are made without fear? I'm not making my choices based on the fear of this world. Live according to his Word. You have everything you need right here in God's Word. Even if you have to borrow a Bible, it works because it's God's eternal Word. Let's close in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for the gift of righteousness you give. Thank you that like Moses, we can stand in awe of you. We can have you right here. We can recognize that you are right here. We can see what is unseen, which is the definition of faith. And Lord God, we can have that eternal mindset knowing that our riches in heaven, our glory in heaven is so much better than anything here. Help us, Lord God, to live that way, to make choices based on that, to not find our total joy and fulfillment in what is here now and the temporal passing pleasures, but Lord God, to find our real joy and contentment in you, in your Son. Knowing you are right here, right now, wanting to lead, wanting to guide, wanting us to follow. Help us to desire that too. Thank you, Lord God, that we can focus on you, because we focus on the world and we get pretty skittish, Lord. We get kind of scared or mad or upset, or we get a whole bunch of emotions. Lord God, when we focus upon you, we find peace and joy and strength and courage. Courage to do what is right, what is godly. We love you. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.